Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
To the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for this weekend's edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com and Corlin Economics Report. Please be sure to follow us and check in on a daily basis because boy oh boy, it's been a very busy week and a very busy year. All kinds of, especially company interviews and a lot of analysis focused on markets and metals, and this weekend show, well, we have to focus on the metals and the pretty drastic sell-off that we saw this week on the back of the Fed statement. And in all fairness, metals, commodities broadly, were pretty volatile even heading into this week, way more volatile than equity markets, so that could have been a contributing factor. Either way, I'm going to spend a lot of time on that, and I am kicking off the show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Now, as a note here, Adrian and I are talking about halfway through the day on Thursday. So, as of right now, not a good day for gold. And quite frankly, just in the last 3 days of trading, gold is down over $100 and quite a ways off, about $150 off of that high from the very beginning of this month, right around 1920. Adrian, is it as simple as the Fed talking about getting more dovish, even though the dot plot moved a couple years down the road? Is that what's driving this correction in gold?
Yeah, well, good morning, Corey. And as you and I were joking before the show, we should stop booking these interviews in advance because it seems every time we book an interview, gold collapses.
So, it's true, and we book these things like a month, 2 months in advance,
yeah,
too, but it's years.
It happened last time, didn't it? And it's a lot more fun to be talking when things are up. But I think the advice is, if my advice is of value to anyone, the advice is more valuable than when things are not working out well. You know, I think clearly the Fed was the trigger. And also, more than that, it was the fundamental factor driving. So it was the primary factor driving. As you mentioned, the commodities in general were volatile heading into this. But gold itself was really a lot less volatile than the other commodities, frankly. And, you know, I think we'd had a situation. I was looking at the graph. You go back to below the bottom for gold, the bottom in early March, although we came back to that low a month later, we have not had more than two consecutive down days. So we've had 2 days down, but we haven't had more than two consecutive days down until this week. Well, until last week, sorry. So gold had been really remarkably strong. I mean, it was obviously a good move up, a good recovery move, but also not having a meaningful correction this whole way up. And so I think that set the tone for gold to react, you know, the way it did to the Fed statement. Now, I mean, obviously a lot of people have commented on this, but I mean, my gosh, the Fed is talking about, you know, raising rates 2 years out. You know, the headline to me should have been, Fed won't raise rates for at least 2 years, says Powell. I mean, that's the headline. In the current environment, rates are ridiculously low and should be higher. I'm not saying I want them higher, but they should be higher. And so the real headline to me is that the Fed isn't going to do anything for 2 years. that would have been bullish for gold. But of course, the way it's written, Fed to raise rates, and you look at all of the things in the Fed statement, the Fed comments, and the market simply focused on the fact that, you know, they said they were going to raise rates 2 years from now. They didn't focus on Powell conceding that inflation is higher than anticipated, not just higher and more persistent, he said. You know, this is interesting because after the full dress court of, all of the different Fed spokesmen and regional chairmen and everybody else coming out saying it's just transitory, it's a base effect from last April, don't worry about it. Now, for the first time, they're admitting, maybe it's more persistent than we thought it was. The fact that the Fed says we're in new territory, new waters, by the way, into which Powell, as captain of the boat, steered us. You know, why are we in the situation we're in the first place? It's only because of Fed policy. So they're saying we're in uncharted waters, and we've got no experience and no predictive models for this scenario. Not that the Fed's models have proven to be particularly accurate. That's a different comment. But inflation higher than we anticipated, more persistent than we anticipated, should be bullish for gold. The Fed saying we don't have the faintest clue what we're doing, I've translated, that should be extremely bullish for gold, but instead the market simply heard interest rate hike. And of course, they didn't even hear the 2 years out. And that, of course, is negative for gold.
Now, one other aspect we should compare here to gold is the U.S. equity markets, because, look, a lot of the chatter out there was saying that if the Fed gets tighter or winds back some of their monetary policy, that's going to hurt gold, or that's going to hurt the U.S. equity markets. We're seeing some weakness in the markets, but again, compared to the precious metals, nowhere close to that kind of weakness. Again, what's the disconnect? Why are the markets managing to withstand, at least for right now, this slightly more dovish, at least in the narrative sense, Fed?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, as you said, the stock market did sell off fairly dramatically when the Fed announcement, when Powell opened his mouth, not so much. So it did sell off, and it recovered, of course, and then today it's come off again. But as you say, nothing compared with the rest of the market. I mean, the plain fact is the Fed talked about raising interest rates maybe 2 years in the future, and they talked about maybe we ought to start thinking about when we might want to start talking about having a discussion about possibly perhaps actually tapering sometime in the future. But they're continuing to print money like crazy. And if they are printing, if there's excess liquidity in the system, that is by definition liquidity in excess of the current needs of the economy, that money has to go somewhere. So, you know, it can go into Bitcoin, it can go into 12-year-old sneakers, but most of it, the bulk of it, is going to go into the stock market. And there's a wide disparity in the stock market, as you know, between the high flyers with the highest PE multiples and the highest valuations, and most of the stocks. Most of the stocks are at their long term high valuations. But most of the stock market is by no means in bubble territory, in my view. And so, you know, there's a lot of excess liquidity around. It has to go somewhere. I think it just continues to go into the stock market.
All right, Adrian, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but I'm having you back on next segment, and we're going to continue to focus on the precious metals. We might even dive into some of the stocks that you like, that you see opportunities in. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Adrian Day.
Al Corland's firm, A.B. Corland and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corland Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing.
This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Adrian Day. Now, Adrian, let's talk about the strategy for investors then when it comes to the precious metals, because gold stocks were, you could argue, weathering the storm fairly well after that Fed day on Wednesday, but today on Thursday, well, they're outperforming to the downside, unfortunately. GDX is down over 5%. GDXJ is down almost 5%. Even silver, SIL, the silver miners, they're down over 5%. What's the strategy then, Adrian, in your eyes, for precious metals investors?
Good question. And I think, yes, stocks sold off yesterday. But frankly, I was surprised yesterday, and I have to say I was cautiously optimistic that the stocks hadn't sold off as much yesterday. But of course, we didn't see, you know, Asian markets or European markets pick up on the gold trade. And so they sold off. I think that's what it was. And they sold off today. You know, frankly, but gold and silver stocks as a group were not in any way overvalued last week. Before they dropped. I think that's something we have to remember because, you know, you have a totally different strategy if the stocks were already ahead of themselves and now, you know, they've released some steam. They were not. They were fundamentally cheap. You look at the valuation metrics on the XAU. We've talked about this before. It's astonishing. Whether it's price to earnings, yes, some gold companies actually have earnings these days. Price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to free cash flow, price to net asset value, price to EBITDA. On all of those valuations, the senior gold and silver companies are trading in the lower 30 percentile compared with their historical valuation ranges. And on some of those metrics, they are actually in the lowest 10 percentile. That is crazy when gold is trading. And frankly, even if you're talking about gold trading where it is right now, you know, on a historical basis, go back 15 years, this is still, you know, towards the high end of gold's price range, not the low end. And for the gold stocks to be trading at the low end of their valuations, especially when they are, for the most part, better companies, and we've talked about that before, better companies than they were, is crazy. And so for me, the strategy now is, I mean, really take advantage of the declines and sharp declines in the prices of the best companies. You know, there's a saying, don't buy hamburger when the filet's on sale. And I've nothing against hamburger, and there's some great junior companies out there. But I mean, if you can buy, let's just say, Barrick at $21, or you can buy Agnico back to under 65, Goldfields at 930, you know, these are super companies, solid companies, and the prices are remarkably low. And on the silver side, I mean, Pan American, which is, you know, I think it's the creme de la creme of silver companies. But that's back to its low. I guess it did drop a little bit below it in January. A little bit below it in January. But basically, that's at the low price it is traded, you know, for over a year. I think that's just a superb buy at this price for tuna silver under $6. You know, I think if you stick tech, $20. I think if you stick with the best buys, the best companies that are good value, that's the approach right now.
Okay, so you're sticking to the majors, and even looking at the Pan American chart, very interesting because it is testing out really that breakout level from last year and that spike after and right before COVID, actually. It's a very interesting chart to see these bigger guys selling off to what could be some good support levels. What about some of the royalty companies too, Adrian? They've really come off the radar of some investors. There's a lot of royalty companies out there right now, and I know you follow, especially the big ones. Do you like the position that they are in?
Yeah, but you know, you look at a Franco, it's dropped, you know, less than $4 on a $150 stock price. That hasn't sold off anywhere near as much as the others. So, for example, Franco, I think it's the number one gold mining company out there. It's superb. It's going to do very, very well. But if you're saying today, look at what's dropped, let's scoop up some bargains, then Franco doesn't jump out on your screen. So I think, and I think that's true for some of them. Royal Gold has, you know, dropped in line with the market. Osisko's dropped in line with the market. But they were already a little bit ahead of themselves. I think there's more value in some of the junior ones. Metalla, I think, is a good buy here. They announced a very good acquisition this morning. And of course it was, shall we say, unfortunate timing to make a good announcement when the market crashes like this. But you know, Metalla, it's come back up now. It's at $10, 10 by 10 or 1. But at $10, you know, I think that's a very good buy. They just bought a royalty on IAMGOLD's Côté Gold project, you know, in Ontario. It's being developed. So it's a near-term cash flow for them. I think a very, very, very good acquisition for them. So, you know, Metalla, of course, is in the GDXJ. So there's forced selling. You know, when the GDX is sold, this is sold. So I think that's a good opportunity. One thing I'll say about the royalties, if I may, Corey, and I'm sorry, there's so much to talk about and I'm just jumping around, but one thought that's really interesting about the royalty companies, you know, we know all the advantages of royalties, you know, that they're not responsible for the costs and things going wrong and it's money off the top and all that. And first money in, last money in. And we also know that generally, the valuations have been high, but we accept that because of the quality of the companies. One thing that I think a lot of people haven't really focused on, and that is in an inflationary environment, that gives a real advantage to the royalty companies. Because for Barrick or Agnico or anyone else, when the price of steel and copper go up, that increases the cost of building the mine. And when the cost of energy and the commodity currencies goes up, which they do in inflationary periods, that increases the costs of running the mine. But those costs don't accrue to the, those increased costs don't accrue to the royalty companies. So the royalty companies have a very strong competitive advantage in an inflationary period, which I don't think there's much doubt that we're entering into.
Okay. Adrian, thanks as always for your time, buddy. It's great having you on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
A COVID variant spreading across the U.S., the Delta variant first detected in India 8 months ago, now in at least 41 states.
President Biden saying Friday the Delta variant will leave some areas very hurt.
It's a variant that is more easily transmissible, potentially deadlier, and particularly dangerous for young people. But the good news is we have the solution. The science and the data are clear. The best way to protect yourself against these variants are to get fully vaccinated.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky telling ABC Friday the Delta variant could become the dominant strain in the U.S. soon. California allowing residents to get digital copies of their vaccine records. State health officials Friday launching a website where residents can download the digital copies. Governor Gavin Newsom says this is not a vaccine passport. This is USA Radio News. A new hardline ruler in the Middle East, Ibrahim Raisi, elected president in Iran today, the 60-year-old chief justice sanctioned by the U.S. and EU for his human rights record. A Georgia hospital system among the latest victims of a cyber attack. Savannah's largest hospital chain hit this week with a ransomware attack. No word on who attacked the faith-based nonprofit St. Joseph's Candler or why. Cyber attacks a recent topic of conversation between President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on the message Biden wants to send to Russia and other countries.
If other countries continue to attack us in any way, then we reserve the right to use all means at our disposal to protect our people, to protect our gas pipelines, to protect our water systems. And this president is not going to take any tool off the table in response if it is ultimately going to advance and defend the interests of the United States.
Sullivan also tells CBS News Biden told Putin in their meeting if attacks continue, the U.S. will have no choice but to take responsive measures against Russia, including in cyber. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Adrian Day as we did focus a bit more on the resource and commodity sector and the sell-off that we saw today. In these next two segments, I am chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. He also has a retail newsletter called In the Know Trader, and also a relatively newer newsletter called 7-Eleven, where Rick picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs. Now, Rick, let's talk big picture here and focus a bit more on U.S. equity markets first, post-Fed. Now, look, the Fed came out with a statement that I guess was a little more hawkish, but really all they said was they are thinking about talking about raising rates, and quite frankly, the dot plot changed, but it changed about 2 years out. So again, it's hard to predict month over month, let alone 2 years down the road. The interesting thing, though, is we saw a bit of selling creep into every market, but it seems like the U.S. equity markets are withstanding that selling pressure almost better than any other sector or market within the U.S. Rick, how's that happening? Why are the U.S. markets withstanding this slightly more hawkish Fed?
Well, Corey, I think you've got a couple of issues here that need to be addressed. One you touched on, which is the Fed spoke about possibly raising rates 2 years out in two of the quarters, and which the market wasn't looking for based upon the last Fed statement. However, to, you know, I think Jay Powell was kind of smart in how he did this, because he presented this as the possibility that 2 years out there may be some rise in Fed funds rates. And there's no changes now. They're holding things at 0% or, you know, between 0.25%. This, I think, was kind of cleverly done as nothing changing for now, but a couple years out, things may be different. And along that, you know, he said inflation was higher for this year than the Fed had expected. So let's start with that. The Fed is known historically and notoriously for being behind the curve. And what I mean by that is being behind what the market knows. So the market has priced in inflation going back as early as, I'd say, last September or so. Investors started leaning towards positioning themselves for inflation down the road. And we've been telling our institutional clients since last September that investors have shifted towards an outlook for inflation. The Fed has not addressed what the market kind of felt like was coming. Interest rates, obviously, on the long end had moved up significantly from last fall. And the U.S. 10-year got to, I think, 1.76 or so was the high of the move, sitting now at 1.45. But the marketplace expected rates to move higher because of inflation. And the Fed kept saying, we're not really concerned about inflation, until this last meeting where they said, you know what, yeah, it is higher than we expected it to be by a significant amount. What's gone on since Wednesday, especially on the yield side, is first a quick move up to, I don't know, what was it, 160 or so, 1.6, and then right back down. So there is a movement here in buying bonds, and part of this, I think, is flight to safety with stocks looking a little iffy, and we'll get to the stock market in a second. But bond yields are just a tad lower than they were on the lows in March, which I think got to 1.47, and now we're at 1.4, actually right now we're at 1.44, or 4.5. So, you know, we're kind of right there. If we break further, then yields can go down to 138, 128, and if we really had more of a decline in yields, and I'd love it to happen, because if I had the chance to be able to get to sell bonds back with yields beneath 1.2%, I'd be a very happy camper. And I'd relish the opportunity to be able to get that to happen. So for, you know, your listeners, my view is if yields really fell another 20 basis points, 25 basis points, I think that's your last chance you're going to get to sell bonds. And then rates will ultimately make their way higher. So to me, I am a bond bear. And it's just a matter of, you know, of course, like anything else in these markets, timing the best time to put that trade on. But with the high that we have in place at earlier this year in March, which was accompanied by a DeMarc sequential upside exhaustion signal. So, you know, we've kind of been in the camp that rates were going to stall. And now that they've pulled back, good, let them pull back more. And then, you know, I'll probably sell out of all bonds I own, any mutual funds, any type bond funds I have. You get me down near 1.25%, and then that's it. I'm done with bonds. I don't think we're going back to 1% or anything like that.
Rick, let me jump in here. Does that mean that the whole defensive trade, you're not buying into that, or should bonds not be looked at as a defensive trade in this environment?
Well, I think bonds are always going to be looked at as an alternative. They're not necessarily, look, for 30 years, you made money buying bonds. I think that's done with. So putting money into the bond market now is simply a hedge about really being exposed to other markets, most especially the stock market, but it could be some other markets too. So to me, bonds are a place to park money where you don't think you're going to get your rear end handed to you. However, that is more of a short-lived type thing because I think bonds are done on the downside. You know, we got to, I don't know, 40 basis points or so. I think it was last summer. That's the bottom. And we, you know, we made a good bounce up. We're correcting some of it. The marketplace has been short bonds for a while now because a good portion of Wall Street was expecting rates to go higher, and they did. But, you know, we've gone nowhere in the bond market basically since mid-March, and now there's only so long you go sideways before one of the two sides of that trade starts to feel some pain. And in this case, you know, people who are short bonds are feeling some pain, and, you know, yields have backed up as there's a little bit of a short squeeze. If the short squeeze continues, good. Let people come in and buy bonds as their hedge against what's going on elsewhere. I don't think bonds are a good long-term investment any longer. And I've been saying that for a while. And at this point, just it's a matter of where you want to come in to, from my view, sell out of your bonds for good, because we should be in a higher interest rate environment for the next several years. So to me, you know, the bull market, the 30-year bull market is done.
Bold comments there, Rick, but hey, in all fairness, as you said, it's been over 30 years of this bull market for bonds, and well, if we were going to go negative in the U.S., I think it could have or should have already happened. Not saying that they should have done it, but I think that ship has, for the most part, sailed, so maybe, just maybe, that bull market in bonds is over and we might be seeing some higher interest rates. Rick, I'm having you on next segment to wrap up this first hour of the weekend edition. We're going to continue to discuss some of the movements on the back of that Fed meeting and especially get into, again, some more on the markets and some more on commodities. So everybody, stick around. Rick Bensignore and I are going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi. Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Welcome back. Here we are to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Rick, I want to get your comments on the reaction, or I guess lack of significant reaction, from the U.S. markets after that Fed statement. As we saw volatility in a lot of other markets, we also saw an increase in volatility in U.S. markets and a little bit of a sell-off, especially at the tail end of the week. But again, the tail end of the week sell-off, that can also be attributed to some further comments from the Fed. What do you think about the markets? Again, withstanding this slightly more hawkish Fed and the sell-off in a lot of other markets, but not so much still. U.S. equity markets are very close to all-time highs.
Yeah, I mean, it was just Monday of this week, Corey, that the S&P notched a new high from, you know, just barely above last Friday's high. So even though we've had a pretty lousy week in the market, we've had both today and Wednesday were significant down days, we're still only about, you know, just over a percent and a half from all-time highs. So in S&P terms, the market has still held up. I don't have any major concerns yet. From a pure tactical point of view, the first support level is right near today's low. It's 41.78. Today's low is 41.72 as we speak. The market's at 41.86. So we have bounced even from that level. Bigger level to be concerned about is breaking under 41.40. And doing so properly. So we kind of have some filters that we use to help determine if a breakdown or a breakout is real as compared to just market noise. And even though in the month of May, multiple days we were beneath 41.40, none of those days were set up the correct way such that, you know, we really weren't concerned and the market turned around and made new all-time highs. So I'd still use kind of that 41. Let me see what the actual number is. It's 41.43. You've got to break beneath it properly. If you want to know how to break beneath it properly, become a subscriber to In the No Trader. And we talk about this and have all our clients understand how these kind of market modifications work to better increase the odds that what you're seeing as a real move is instead of a fake move. From a little bit longer term point of view, those are tactical numbers. If I switch to a weekly chart, The weekly chart doesn't break until you get under 39.56. And same thing, you would have to break 39.56 correctly. That's a couple hundred points off of the S&P high. And all that does is really bring you back to March level. So it's, you know, even if we get down to the mid-3900s, you haven't done huge damage to the market. Yeah, it's a couple hundred S&P points, which these days is 5%. But 5% is still not any big, you know, thing to be concerned about. And the market, you know, maybe just looking for an excuse right now, and rates, you know, not being able to climb back up over 1.6 may have some people thinking that, you know, they can still head somewhat lower. And if they head lower, it may take the stock market with it right now. There's, you know, this kind of backwards thinking on certain ways of looking at the market. If yields move significantly higher, it's not good for technology stocks. If yields move lower, it's actually good for, you know, the growth type names, but not necessarily good for the rest of the market, which is what you've seen tech do rather well recently after being, you know, topping several months ago in relative terms. Tech's actually had a decent time in the last week or two. So rates coming down is good for tech names. And tech is still the biggest part of the market. So you have to think about, too, when you look at the movement in the S&P, what pushes the S&P? Well, it's going to be the largest weighted sectors in the S&P. It's not going to be, you know, staples and energy, despite the fact that energy is by far the best performing sector this year. Energy only makes up 2.9% of the S&P's weighting.
Or so, meme stocks, right? It's not the meme stocks supporting it.
Yeah. I mean, BlackBerry getting squeezed is not going to, you know, make the S&P go higher. If Apple got squeezed, if Amazon got squeezed, yes, because they represent such a large weighting in the S&P. But these little names, you know, getting squeezed is not going to affect the S&P.
Okay. Interesting there, Rick. And big picture, I guess, circling back around to your first answer there in terms of the Fed downplaying inflation and the markets being ahead of the Fed and betting on inflation picking up, are we starting to see the opposite happen now with commodities moving down, dollar moving up, maybe the market saying that inflation trade, at least in the near term, has peaked?
I think for now, yes. And I think the markets were also way ahead of themselves, like on the commodity side, where prices have made, you know, the price of corn, the price of basic commodities have made such a significant up move. And look, the price of lumber, and you can't, you know, there are a couple of very lightly traded ETFs that somewhat relate to the price of wood and lumber. The lumber futures market is very illiquid, and I don't recommend any of your clients trade it. Even professionals who trade it, there's too many locked limit days that happen in lumber. And it's because it's so thin, it hardly trades. The price of lumber got so high that it was actually pricing people out of being able to buy homes because the raw goods have started to make a material dent into builders' estimates on what new housing is going to cost, and it trickles down now to the buyers. So buyers have been forced out simply because home pricing, not only because of COVID in the suburbs, has gotten much more lofty as people wanted to leave the big cities and get into the suburbs, but also the price of new housing has gotten out of control because of the raw prices of cement, copper, and lumber. So I think the commodity side was overdone. You're seeing a correction, and the correction should likely last some more. So for the near term, yes, the inflation play is probably over. But I don't think it's done for good. I think it's just done for now. We should see inflation still creep in over time, and at some point, the U.S. 10-year is going to 2% and higher, and, you know, it's the Fed's going to have a hard time dealing with inflation.
Fair. Well, they say it's still transitory, right? They're using that argument that don't worry about
yes.
it. No one knows for sure, but.
No, but even this, my son just got home for Father's Day from Ohio State, where he graduated, but he's staying for grad school. and he just got home. I haven't seen him in months, and it was great seeing him. And he was telling me that he's seeing a big difference in the price of his grocery shopping. And, you know, he's a 22-year-old who is a young adult and first, you know, starting to now be on his own and shop for himself and you know, pay for his own things. And when you're a kid, you don't realize this, but now that, you know, he's, as a young adult, doing his own shopping and seeing that, he said, even the price of salmon, he said he'd only buy salmon for, you know, I don't know, $8 a pound, and now he's paying $12 a pound for the same thing. And I said, boy, that's a big, you know, inflation's up, but then and causing prices higher in the supermarket, but that sounds like a little too much of a, you know, that's a 50% move per pound. But it is creeping into, you know, your food bill. And you go to restaurants, their costs between COVID and their raw costs have gone up, and they're passing them on as they need to. Inflation is here. You're not going to see restaurants and supermarkets lower their prices. So unfortunately, I think for the consumer, it may not be in the markets, and we'll see a correction in the markets. But on the consumer end, other than the possibility that gasoline could come down, you know, if oil fell from 70 to 60, you should see your gasoline get a little cheaper. But other than that, I think for the consumer, once inflation creeps into the environment, it shows up in prices, and the consumer is on the short end of the stick here because people are, you know, suppliers are not likely to lower prices. If yields go from, you know, from what was as high as 1.75 and get down to, let's just say, they went to even 1.25, you're not going to see that correction show up in the consumer side and not pay any less. If prices have moved up, they're going to stay there. And only over time will they go higher. They're not going to come back down.
All right, Rick, we're out of time for the weekend show. It's great having you on the show. Always appreciate your comments. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And everybody listening, thanks for tuning in this weekend. Please keep in touch. My email is fleck@kereport.com. And please go back and listen to a lot of those company updates that we recorded throughout the week. And give me, share with me your feedback. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend. Rick, thanks again for your time, buddy.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback, and they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.